Good afternoon. Welcome. Glad you're with me. It's Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVellantes on 720 WGN, firmly ensconced, as always, in the Allstate Showcase studio, overlooking a brisk but active Michigan Avenue. Everybody's getting their New Year's Eve off to an early start. The crowds are beginning to gather. I scoff for Chi-Town Rising, which we will be discussing later. Big show planned, a lot of New Year's Eve fun. We're going to have some music later on with R&B recording artist Justin Ruff. We're going to have Lou Malnati's. Our good friends at Lou Malnati's are bringing some treats in for us. Our fine engineering staff, welcome to enjoy some pizza after setting up the mics and getting things all ready for us here for the big show. We're going to talk to Scott Kleinberg with social media and tech stories of 2015 in just a couple minutes. Of course, Tom Skilling will join us a little earlier than usual today because we are out of here at 6:30 to make way for the Blackhawks. So a lot to do, and this is very exciting. Normally on the Rokan show, I don't get to do an arcade, but because it's New Year's Eve at 5 o'clock, we are going to do a very special afternoon arcade 2015 trivia, and I will warn you up front, it is not for the squeamish. If you think, well, I remember a couple things that happened this year, well, you may not want to be the one who plays, because we're going to need people who remember a lot of things that happened this year, because it is going to be a little bit tough. The show is always more fun when you get involved. 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text number. If you call in, you'll be talking to Yoon. He's the executive producer of the big broadcast today. If you're nice to him, you get to me, especially during the holidays. Always treat the producers with the utmost respect because they are overworked, underpaid, and then tyrannized by the hosts. So I've been pelting Yoon with all sorts of things all afternoon in preparation for today's broadcast. So be nice to them. That's how that works. If you want to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, it's Brian Noonan Show. We keep updating those and monitoring those throughout the show as well. So, man, oh, man. Kim, are you ready for a big New Year's Eve? This is, oh, man, it's going to be a hootenanny down here.
Well, it's going to be a hootenanny down here, but not where I'm going to be.
No. Are you quiet plans tonight?
Yeah, just going to some friend's house. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going home. The minute we're done, I am skedaddling. I don't want to be on the roads. I don't want to be in the crowds. I am a hermit. So we're going to have a couple friends coming over. My daughter didn't want to go out, and her friends, a lot of them are out of town, so one or two might come over. We're going to eat some pizza and play Pie Face.
Sounds good. We're playing Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I haven't played that.
It'll be my first time. I just got it, so we'll see how it goes.
All right. Which is there's different versions, right, or different editions?
I'm not sure which edition I have.
I don't know, but it's going to be fun either way.
It should be.
And then have you played that Pie Face game?
No. How's
It's this new, it's the trendy new board game I get, not trendy. It's, you see it all over Facebook. We saw it, before I started hearing about it, I saw it at, and we got it for somebody for Christmas. You basically put your head through a frame that looks, you know how you take a picture, like you put your head through a
right.
clown body? So you do that, and you spin the spinner, and it tells you how many times you have to crank this little handle, and there's a hand on a catapult that you put whipped cream on a sponge. So it's basically you're turning this crank waiting to see if you get pie in the face.
But you don't have to answer a question correctly or
nope.
incorrectly.
Nope.
You just
It's like Russian roulette.
Okay.
It's Russian roulette with whipped cream. So the Ready Whip people must be ecstatic because they're selling more cans than they usually would around the holidays of this whipped cream. And the board game people are like, ooh. We did it at Christmas at my mom's house. And even my sister-in-law, who's a little more standoffish when it comes to frivolity, she got involved and she got splattered. So it was fun for everyone. 8 to 80, Kim.
Sounds like a blast.
Oh, sure. It's yeah.
Unless you're the one with the whipped cream in your face, right?
Well, my niece, who's 5, didn't understand that you didn't want to get the pie in the face.
Oh, so she started crying?
Well, she did it like 6 times and never pied her in the face. And you could see her getting more and more upset because it was like, I want to get the pie in the face because everybody would laugh. But
right.
when she wouldn't get splattered, we would all cheer too. finally, on like the seventh try, she got it. She got splattered. And, you know, even though she lost, in her mind, she won. So it was just a lot of fun. A lot of fun indeed. All right. Don't forget, too, Blackhawks fans, let me tell you this before we go to break. If you are looking for something to do in late February, if you want to get out of the frozen tundra of Chicago and go somewhere even colder, man, this is the best deal you can find. Blackhawks fans, come with WGN Radio and spend a hockey-filled three-day weekend away in Minneapolis, February 20th through the 22nd. You're going to go on a chartered coach north to the Twin Cities, and you're going to see the outdoor alumni game at TCF Bank Stadium on the University of Minnesota campus. Then on Sunday, it is the Chicago Blackhawks facing Central Division rival Minnesota Wild at the 2016 Coors Light NHL Stadium Series outdoor game, and that is going to be a blast. Tour includes accommodations at the Hampton Inn Minneapolis downtown, which is steps from all the restaurants and nightlife that Minneapolis has to offer. Maybe you'll see Prince wandering by in his 8-inch platform shoes. I can't guarantee that part. Two breakfasts are included, though, and your game tickets. Call Sunrise Tours at 800-881-8804 to book your tour, and or you can find pricing and booking information at wgnradio.com/events. That's Sunrise Tours at 800-881-8804, or go to wgnradio.com/events. You can find all the pricing and booking information there as well. It's the big Blackhawks WGN Stadium Series road trip, so go check that out. Let's do this, and when we come back, we'll talk to Scott Kleinberg. Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN-TV News at 10. It's Brian Noonan in for Ro Khan and Anna DeVellantes. We're here till 6:30. Then it's Blackhawks hockey. I'm very happy to welcome into the studio a man I've talked to on the phone before. You hear him here on WGN on any number of shows, and you read him in the Chicago Tribune, where he covers social media, technology, and just about anything they tell him, because he's that good. Scott Kleinberg is here. Hi, Scott. Happy New Year.
Hey, Brian. Happy New Year to you.
So I asked you in because we wanted to, you know, I try to stay up on social media. I try to stay active, because that's what you have to do nowadays.
Yep.
And the social media world just is ripe with stories. And as the year comes to an end, it's fun to look back and try to figure out what were the biggest social media stories and maybe what's coming up in 2016.
Right.
Let's talk about a few viral things first. And you sent me a list, and they're in no particular order except for number one. And
yes,
I got sucked into this, and I never thought I would get sucked into something like this. What was the biggest social media story?
And I think that's what made it number one. It was that awesome dress. That is it blue and black? Is it white and gold? Some people thought it was orange. What is this thing, and what is going on? And that is definitely the number one thing.
Before we move on from that, because like I said, I never thought I'd be, and I'm not poo-pooing social media, obviously, but I never thought I'd be the kind of guy who got sucked into a story like that. But we do. And yesterday it was if dogs wore pants.
That was a great one. Yeah.
Last week it was the panda in the penguins.
Yep.
What is it about those kind of things that makes people just need to flock to them?
You know, I think this is going to sound crazy, but I really believe it is because people need a break. I really believe it's because we're working so hard. There's so many serious stories. There's so many serious things happening. When we see something like this, we tell ourselves exactly what you said. We're not going to get sucked in. This is not my style. This is not my kind of thing. But if I can just let my brain go and just kind of just sit there and just do something fun, I think people don't want to admit that, but I really think that's what it comes down to, because those things that you said, the dog in the pants, the panda, the dress, the escaped llamas in Arizona,
yes,
all of those things are just like, let's just sit back and just watch and see what happens.
Well, I looked for the panda. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
I looked for the panda too.
How long did it take you to find it?
A couple minutes.
Yeah.
And then there was immediately somebody puts up, you know, here it is, stop looking at it. It's like, what? Really?
But there were stories from people saying, if you can't find the panda, here's help. And I was like, really? Come on, the panda's right there.
Well, people always need some sort of help.
Yeah.
All right, so the dress was number one.
Right.
What were some of the other huge social media stories this year?
Some of the other ones. Well, there was the left shark during Katy Perry Super Bowl show, which was crazy because it was like the shark became the story. Like it had more than, you know, more hits on a hashtag than Katy Perry did herself or than the Patriots did, which is just, you know, absolutely insane. There's silly things like Alex from Target, the kid who one day woke up and found his photo on social media for no reason at all.
Yeah. And how does that, I mean, things just catch on.
That got caught on, I think, with young kids and, you know, just I don't really know why that went so crazy. But that one was a surprise when it happened.
What about when Caitlyn Jenner joined Twitter?
Caitlyn Jenner.
I remember that being a huge thing.
That was huge because we found out about Caitlyn Jenner on the cover of Vanity Fair. Mm-hmm. And then the Twitter account came at the same time. So that was an absolute huge one. You know, same-sex marriage. I mean, there was just so much stuff that was happening that, you know, it was hard to even make this list because it seems like I probably forgot something.
What is it? And I know you've analyzed this stuff and you look at it and it probably isn't an absolute science, but why does something like Alex from Target become huge and something else that's similar just lays there and nobody ever sees it?
It's the greatest question of all time. Yeah. And it's what we wonder about in the newsroom all the time. It's like, well, if somebody's going to take this and make it viral, how can something like this that we're doing not go viral?
Yeah.
And there's no rhyme or reason to it. I mean, it depends on the platform it starts on. Alex from Target was big on Instagram. You know, I think it just depends on, you know, where it starts.
What platform do you think going into the new year is going to be the one that takes off? Because last year was, you know, people were talking about Instagram, obviously, and Twitter and Facebook have been around forever.
Yep. I really feel like Snapchat has so much more to grow. Snapchat's already out there. You know, young people love it. Yeah. I did not like it in the beginning.
Right.
And a colleague of mine showed me the way, and I really enjoy it now. I just think that it has so much more room to grow, and I think we've only seen the beginning of it. And I think we're going to see businesses that are going to say things like, you know what, my customers are not on Twitter, but they're on Snapchat,
right,
and that's going to become a big thing.
And see, now I have Snapchat on my phone and my pad, and I haven't started using it yet because I guess I don't get it. I understand the concept. You're sending a picture and then it's supposed to disappear.
Yes, and it does after a few seconds, or if you do a story, you can keep 24 hours worth of your photos.
Okay.
The way the person who explained it to me explained it that got me hooked on it is think of it as 24-hour cycles. So, you know, if we post something now, you know, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, you know, it's gone.
It's gone.
But in those 24 hours, everything you post goes around in a circle and, you know, it goes full circle. And to me, that makes it so much better because I'm going to post something on Instagram that's a really nice photo outside of the skyline.
Sure.
But maybe something that's not so great, that's just me walking by and something crazy, I put on Snapchat and it gives people an insight into your life that they might not have from another way.
And do you always do the story aspect where they stay for the 24 hours?
Yeah. I rarely send snaps to specific people. Okay. Those are the ones that disappear in a few seconds.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, like a friend who's a foodie or something, I'll send something from a restaurant.
Yeah.
But most times, I want everybody to be able to see it.
Very good. Twitter has been in the news a lot lately.
Yep.
Amy, who was just here before, brought it up a while ago with her upcoming documentary about harassment and stuff. And they came out the other day and said they were going to try to change things. Twitter's kind of all over the place. Lots going on with them this year.
It's a really, and for harassment, you know, it's a really tough place to police. You know, I think it's wonderful that they want to do it, and I think it's great, but it feels like because they've waited so long to really address the problem, to be able to do something meaningful about it at this time, you know, it's been around since like 2006.
Right.
I don't see what they can do to actually make it work. There seems to always be some smart way to harass and to troll and to do all of those crazy things that make, you know, Twitter fun, but a difficult place to be at the same time when that's happening.
Now, and they were stagnating for a while, and they had some shakeup at the top, correct?
Yeah, yeah. The CEO, Dick Costello, he was out, and Jack Dorsey came back, one of the original founders, you know, and they thought that he was going to show everybody the light because he had these original ideas, and Wall Street was like, you know, this is the greatest news in the world, and the stock is just not recovering. And, you know, they just recently, the other day, they hired a new director of diversity. And
I was going to ask you about that because you hear director of diversity and you think, oh, okay, it's going to be a woman or a minority or And not the case.
No, a 50-year-old white gentleman from the Silicon Valley. And, you know, he may be the greatest person for this job. I don't know enough about him to know that. And he really may be. But when it comes to social media and everything, perception matters so much. People don't bother to give them the benefit of the doubt. People are just like, oh, well, I have to form an opinion right now because everything is live. And the opinions that were formed when this was announced, it was just horrible. It's going to be impossible for them to bounce back from it.
And even listen, I'm a guy who's 50. That's not old, but in the social media realm, that's like hiring your grandfather.
It is, yes. But if it was a company that wasn't having so many image problems to start with,
right.
This would be like, oh, you know what? They probably could have made a better choice.
Right.
This becomes, really? Are you seriously doing this to us right now? And that's where, you know, it's so lopsided in terms of I didn't see any support when I went to look into tweets. I didn't see one person say, hey, let's give this guy a few days to see how he does. Just not seeing that.
Well, the internet isn't really a place to go for support, is it?
No, no, it's not. I'm always hopeful. I always hold on to that little bit of hope for humanity.
I appreciate that as we go into a new year. You still have that optimism.
I always try.
It's very nice. All right, so you mentioned Snapchat for next year. What other things do you see in social media that you think are going to be the big movers?
Live video is going to be huge. Live video on social media is not new, but in the past year, apps have come along to make it easier and more accessible to everybody else. So Periscope, Meerkat, Facebook has its own video called Live Video, which they just started releasing to business brand pages, and it's being released now to just the general public, you know, slowly.
Okay.
So, you know, much more, you'll see much more in your Facebook feed, I think, of people sharing videos. But it's interesting because it'll be like a whole new war. Periscope is owned by Twitter. Yeah. Facebook has its own video. Meerkat's just kind of caught in the middle, although they were the original ones that came out last year with this live video. And celebrities are bouncing back and forth between to see which one to try.
Okay.
I think that is going to be such a big talker in 2016.
Well, we'll be looking forward. And I appreciate you taking time on New Year's Eve to come down and talk
to
us. And happy New Year, and we'll talk to you again next year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Take care. That's Scott Kleinberg. Read him in the Tribune. He covers social media, technology, and whatever else he deems worthy of his typewriter. You don't have typewriters anymore, do you?
Nope.
No, I still am optimistic that typewriters will come back. All right, let's do this. Then it's news in 2 minutes on WGN. Brian Noonan in for Ro Khan on 720 WGN. Hope you're enjoying your New Year's Eve as the festivities start to kick off. After 4 o'clock, if you're still wondering about your beverage for tonight, the Windy City Wine Guy will join us. But right now, we go down to Mexico. Not because we're trying to rub anybody's nose in it, because my guest never takes a day off. Even when he's on vacation, he is always working. You know him from his program here on WGN, from all his work for pets. Steve Dale is here. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how are you? You know, I really do absolutely love Mexico. I love the culture. There's so much about it. And this place where we stay, El Dorado Maroma, is a little bit of heaven. So,
ding, ding, ding. There's your plug.
I suppose. But I'm very, very happy to always be here. I love it here. So as I was here, I knew this was going to happen. I knew a video was going to be released. I just didn't know when.
Well, yeah, let's tell people what we're talking about, because you were on with me last week and you were very excited because the old person in charge of Chicago Animal Care and Control Center retired, and she had planned on retiring for a long time. So this was not unexpected. But in the past, you had said that the person who would replace her used to be a political hire. This time they were going out for a professional hire, someone who has actually had this kind of experience before, and that had you all excited. And then in the week that's been between us talking, a video has come out showing what looks to be somebody who works at the Animal Care and Control Center choking a dog and then dragging it off, and the dog later was found to be dead. So,
yes.
Is that an accurate portrayal, and what do you make of this tape?
Well, it's not quite an accurate portrayal. That's what's being portrayed. So, I don't know that you've seen the video.
I have.
Yeah, so maybe you see more in it than I've seen. I've seen the video. I've watched it over and over and over. And I saw the uncut version, you know, which has, which shows everything leading up to it, which is pretty much an empty room, incidentally.
Okay.
But I've seen every version of the video that's available, and every angle I've tried to watch it. And the background is this. And this happens every day at municipal facilities in major cities like Chicago. An aggressive dog, that's not even a strong enough statement, from what I'm told, an exceedingly aggressive dog, so aggressive the owner of the dog could not handle the dog.
Okay.
I don't know the backstory on the dog. I have no idea about that. I do know that the dog's owner brought the dog in to be given up and probably euthanized in reality because the dog was just so over-the-top aggressive. Again, I don't know why that was the case, but that was the case.
Okay.
Animal control had a difficult time even getting the dog out of the car, apparently. And at some point in time, the dog is being controlled by these two hook sorts of things that you see.
The little noose thing on the end of the pole, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That they use when they capture dogs in the street at times. And it took several employees to get this dog under control isn't quite the right way to even say it, but and the concern that they had appropriately was getting the dog under control, but also keeping any volunteers, any employees, any other dogs in the area safe.
Sure.
And it's easy for me to say that yes, if you go by the book, they didn't go by the book. That would be true. Having said that, it's one thing to be in this situation with a dog with cortisol going and the adrenaline going, and therefore the people, their adrenaline going.
Sure, everybody's all pumped up.
Yeah. Did they do the right thing? Did they handle it the right way? No. But actually, I think that some of the critics are being a bit too harsh in some ways.
What? Your blog.
I think that the video being released now is not a coincidence, is the reality. There are video cameras at animal control, like there are in many municipal offices all over the city. And the I don't know if it was a volunteer or employee, nobody knows, but someone gave this video to the BGA, the Better Government Association.
Right.
They're on the tail of the mayor. They've long been on the tail of animal control, and sometimes appropriately so. I'm not, you know, they're journalists and they're doing their job. However, right now it seems, in my opinion, to be a pile-on effect here. If this video were released some time ago, I don't know if it would have been. It's still not good news, and I'm not pleased with what I saw in the video. But having said that, if all these other videos, the Emmanuel videos, can come out one after one after one with our police department, I'm not sure this video would have even made the news necessarily.
So, and I get what you're saying. I did read the blog, and everybody can read Steve Dale's blogs at chicagonow.com/Steve Dale's Pet World. It does seem coincidental that it's coming out with, you know, and not that anybody wants to equate dog life with human life, and, you know, but it does seem like it's coming out to get the mayor. And I did watch the video, and I didn't really know what was happening until the end when they were dragging the dog down the hallway.
I agree with you.
Because I was like, something's going on.
But... Brian, I totally agree. So the conjecture online, just backing up a step, for people who haven't seen or don't want to watch the video, and in some ways it's not that graphic because you have all these human bodies surrounding the dog, and the camera doesn't move. It's a stationary camera on a wall. So you see people pretty much. You can't exactly see. So the conjecture and the assumption made by the Better Government Association and just individuals online who greatly care about dogs, which is a good thing, is that the dog was choked to death. I don't even know that that was the case, first of all. Again, I don't believe the procedure they did was the right thing to do. But actually, I don't know that this dog was actually choked to death at all. The dog may have had also pre-existing medical conditions. I mean, who knows? This dog was so over the top, overwhelmed, revved up. And when that happens to dogs, and it was made worse by the way the people presumably handled the dog, then these things sadly can happen to people. And they can happen to dogs, too. Again, I'm not defending the way in which it was done, but I agree with you. There's a lot of conjecture, even by watching this video, which is unclear to me.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you that. Do you think, how much do you think things will change when a new director is brought into Chicago Animal Care and Control that is experienced at managing a huge municipal shelter, as opposed to someone who may have experience and may have done a good job, but didn't have a lot of know-how in that field before they got the job?
So this is what makes me, thank you for asking that question, because this is what makes me angry about a lot of what's being said out there and people that want to protest animal control and all these sorts of things. You know what? The city right now, and I go back more years than I want to say, animal care and control, being involved in all sorts of different ways, I am so happy and so proud to say, I live in Chicago, I am so happy and so proud to say this mayor, who historically I've not necessarily been a fan of or not, but the reality is this mayor truly cares about a lot of things, I think, including animal care and control, and the mayor's representatives in his office do. So they've taken lots of steps. The one I've talked about and the one that's most public is that for the first time ever, it's going to be, as you mentioned, a professional hire, not a political hire. But moreover, that they're planning on making changes that I know about, that I cannot talk about. They are planning to make changes that I can talk about, and I'm happy to talk about those. And it's all exciting to me. Will animal care and control, an open admission facility in a city as large as Chicago, transform overnight into this beautiful exotic place? No, it realistically will not. Resources for every city department, you know, it's not news that I'm making when I say they're limited, right?
Right.
We all know about the budget problems in Chicago, and animal control is not at the top of the list to get the money. But having said that, we have a mayor that is actually paying attention, and it's been going on for a while, some under the public scrutiny, and also there's good news that comes from there.
Well, that's
adoptions are up. The way in which they work with rescue organizations is way up. We're actually doing well in Chicago as a city. Could we be doing better? Yes. Should we be doing better? Absolutely. But we're not doing bad, and we are doing better than we have before, so let's move in the right direction. What happened to this dog should never have happened the way in which it happened, but this dog, realistically, I'm just being real.
Yeah, that dog wasn't long for the mortal coil anyway. Well, Steve, I'm going to let you get back to your Mexican vacation. Before I let you go, very quickly, it was all the conversation yesterday. If a dog wore pants, two legs or four, you're the man who would know.
I'm glad you're not asking me about diapers included. I'd say four legs.
Go and all four.
The way, as the weather gets cold, keep those dogs warm.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your vacation. Happy New Year. Always great to talk to you, Steve.
Thank you.
Take care. That's Steve Dale. You can see him at stevedalepetworld.com. You can read him at chicagonow.com/stevedalespetworld. So go and listen to Steve and hear him, of course, here on Sunday mornings on 720 WGN. After 4 o'clock, the Windy City Wine guy, Michael Battigliero, is going to join us because maybe you're still trying to debate, oh, do I go champagne? Do I go, wow, what should I drink for tonight?
I always have to go champagne on New Year's.
I think you do. Now, do you go, see, and that's, I always get confused between, not confused, but champagne and sparkling wine, and do you?
Well, I think it's only called champagne, right, if it was
actually made in France. And so do you, is that what you get? You go champagne?
I mean, I also like Prosecco, I like Cava, I know there's other options. So.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. I'm going for my growler of beer that I won the other day. So that's been sitting waiting for me. Because by the time, see, here's what's going to happen, I know. I'm going to go home. We're going to play some games. We'll eat some pizza. And then my wife had to go in really early today, so she'll be asleep by 9:30. My daughter, who always says she's going to stay awake, probably will be asleep before midnight. And there's a good chance I'm going to be asleep before midnight. So the last couple of years, I've opened a bottle of champagne, and I'm the only one drinking it. And then I feel guilty not drinking the whole thing because I don't want it to go to waste.
Right.
So now I drink a whole bottle of champagne by myself, and that's not a good way to start the new year.
Why not?
Sitting in the dark, watching TV, and drinking a whole bottle of champagne.
I really don't see anything wrong with that.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to reevaluate. Maybe my 2016 kicks off the way my last couple of years have kicked off. Me with a little...
Been good to you so far, right?
Well, you know, you can go either way, but I'm going to say overall, yeah. So I'll get a little bubbly buzz on. And the nice thing is, when you're doing that at home, you don't have to worry.
Exactly.
I know exactly where I'm going, up the stairs. That's all. I am very excited because the affluenza mom has been arrested. I am very upset because her son is trying to fight extradition from Mexico. And it's, you know, I know they have to go through legal means, but Mexico, just ship this punk home. If I know you guys have been reporting on it all day. Tanya Couch, the mother of the affluenza teen Ethan Couch, she was arrested by Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department on a felony charge after arriving back in the U.S. from Mexico. She's being held without bail, which is good, I think, because, listen, whether you I don't believe the affluenza defense at all, but I do believe that she helped him jump bail or, you know, flee probation. I know she helped him. They were hanging out together in Puerto Vallarta, and they weren't down there for a spa weekend. You know, he dyed his hair. He changed his appearance. He's on the run, and that's
but
why he's fighting.
But they ordered Domino's.
And I will say, I was in Puerto Vallarta once, and I ordered Domino's. And it was, I don't know what it is about Domino's in another country. It's great. We had Domino's in Puerto Rico one night, right when we got there, because it was late and there was a Domino's near the condo where we were staying. And I know Puerto Rico is technically a U.S. territory, but I figure if I have to fly there over water, it's another country, except Hawaii, which I know is a state. Don't start going back and forth with facts. Point is, something about Domino's when you're out of the continental U.S., man, oh, man.
I think it's any, you know, fast food American restaurant. It just reminds you of home.
Maybe, yeah. And it was, but this is the thing. If you're in Puerto Vallarta and you're on the lam and you get a hankering for pizza, go there.
Yeah.
Or seriously. Use the landline at wherever you're staying. Don't use your cell phone. Have they never watched an episode of 24? Have they never seen CSI or Special Victims or any procedural cop show on television? People can track. They track, but I'm glad. I knew this kid was stupid, and I had a feeling his mom was not that much brighter. So it's nice to see that I was correct, and they completely screwed up and got themselves caught. Ha ha. So she was wearing handcuffs. She kept her mouth shut. She didn't answer reporters when they screamed things at her. Her son, though, is still there. He's been granted a 3-day stay in his deportation case, which will now go before a judge who could potentially take longer to make a decision. Let's all hope that the justice system in Mexico, and I, you know, you could say what you want. It might be a little shady, maybe not. I don't know. Thankfully, I've never been arrested and sent to Mexican jail. Kim, you?
No, not this year.
Mike Jacobson, ever been to a Mexican prison?
Not in the last decade.
All right, I don't want to ask Yoon because he's got a past. But I'm hoping that they do the right thing and just send him home. But according to the government official, it could take a little longer. It's unclear how long it could take. A Mexican immigration official said last night that he was being transferred to Mexico City from Guadalajara to follow up on the injunction. His lawyers in Texas said that, well, we're not licensed to practice in Mexico, so they helped him get counsel in Mexico to ensure that he is treated fairly and in accordance to Mexican law. Their statement said, we believe that until the Mexican federal judge enters an appropriate order authorizing it, Ethan will not be returned to the United States. We are uncertain how long the legal process in Mexico will take or how it will ultimately be resolved. Man, I know everybody deserves a defense, and I'm a big believer in that, but sometimes you gotta, when you're a defense attorney, you have to just go, man, I really gotta stick up for this kid.
It'll be interesting to get Karen's take on it Sunday night. Is she on with you Sunday?
No, but she's joining us tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, there you
so
go.
So she'll be in because the Blackhawks play Sunday, so we won't be on. But Karen Conti will be joining me tomorrow at 5. So we'll talk about this and the other big legal stories of the year. On the other side, we're going to talk a little about wine with Michael Battiglieri. He's the Windy City wine guy. We'll do that on the other side of the 4 o'clock news on WGN. Brian Noonan in for Ro Khan and Anna DeVellantes on 720 WGN. All right, maybe you're on your way to Binny's or your favorite liquor emporium. You need to get a bottle of, somebody said, bring a bottle of champagne to the party. And you know that you're going to stand in front of all those bottles and you're not going to have a clue as to what to do. And you're going to think, well, I have to spend a fortune. I don't know. Who can I turn to? Don't look at me. I can't help you. But the man who can, the Windy City wine guy, Michael Battiglieri, is joining me now on WGN. Michael, thanks a lot for coming on.
Oh, no problem. Thanks, Brian.
So, first I got to ask, how does a kid from Bridgeport become a sommelier?
That's a great question. It was a long road traveled. I was in the service for a while. I was in the restaurant business for about 15 years. And then finally I said, you know what, after I graduated from college, I said I wanted to stay in the restaurant business. So I kind of gravitated towards becoming a sommelier.
And now you've won all sorts of certifications. You've obtained five food or wine and beverage certifications. You know what you're talking about is my point. How hard is it for someone like me or the average person to learn the basics of wine, whether it's sparkling wine and champagne like we'll talk about today, or just wine in general? Is it tough for us to get a passable knowledge?
No, it's not. There's so many different ways you can do it. Most people have a wine shop by their house, or even a Binny's, which sometimes will hold some sort of a wine class. I imagine there's people, especially in the city, who will have any sort of a wine bar that has, you know, they sell wine flights. So when you drink wine flights, it gives you the opportunity to taste multiple wines instead of just sticking with one if you purchase a bottle. So you get more to taste. Most places will have a knowledgeable staff or a sommelier on staff. So you can even ask questions with that.
Well, that makes it seem a lot easier. We were talking about this earlier, Michael. Champagne, for a sparkling wine to be called champagne, it has to come from the Champagne region of France. Is that correct?
That's correct. So the grapes have to be grown in the region. The wine has to be produced in that region.
Okay. Do you have to spend a fortune if you want to get actual champagne, like halfway decent champagne?
Oh, no. You're definitely looking over the $25 price point. But, you know, that's not really a big fortune. It's a lot of money for some people, but splurging for New Year's Eve shouldn't be a problem.
All right, let's talk about that, because it is New Year's Eve, and people are trying to decide, well, do I go champagne? Do I go sparkling wine? And if, for a novice, when you're drinking it, is there a huge difference? I know some sparklings are much sweeter, but overall, is there a real big difference?
The biggest difference that you're going to have between a champagne and a sparkling wine is because champagne is normally aged for a much longer period of time. And it's aged over dead yeast cells that are in the bottle. So it gives a lot of like really full-bodied, bready essence to the wine. And that's what people are really looking for with their champagne, as opposed to your sparkling wine. Now, some of the sparkling wines, they're aged for a significant amount of time with that as well. But the champagne, particularly, that's what you're looking for.
All right, let's look. You mentioned the $25 price point being about the bottom for champagne. So let's go from like 25 to 50 at first. What would be a couple good bottles if somebody wanted to spend that kind of money for a nice bottle of champagne for tonight?
Well, I mean,
or can you do it for 25 to 50?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you could even go a little bit lower. I mean, I've seen Kirkland make the champagne at Costco for $19.99, so you can definitely go that route.
All right. Is it any good?
It's decent. I mean, if you don't mind just paying the $20 for a bottle of sparkling wine champagne, then it's worth the trip.
Okay. But if I wanted if I wanted at least my hostess to think, oh, look at, he made a little effort.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So when they do see the Kirkland label, then they know exactly where you got it.
Right, exactly.
So, but there's some wines that you can get. You can get the Heidsieck Monopole makes sparkling wine for just under $30. That's one area that you can go in, and they do a pretty decent job. You can go with Louis Roederer. Makes really great champagne in the mid-30 price point, so that's one that I would look for as well. Mumm's makes one in the mid-30 price range as well. You can get your Moët Chandon Imperial for that price point as well. And you can, if you want to go to the rosé, you can even do that with a few different producers. Piper Heidsieck makes a rosé. One of my favorites that you can probably get is Bartholomew Brut Rosé, coming in just under $40. So there's a lot of different options for you.
Michael Botelliero is the Windy City Wine Guy. You can check out all his information at windycitywineguy.com. So you said rosé. So champagnes don't have to be just, I get white, for lack of a better term? Because I hear pink and champagne, and I'm going back to champagne back in the day, Michael.
Yeah, that's true. You could actually venture off into the sparkling rosés, where what they'll do is they'll add just a small portion of Pinot Noir or Pinot Meunier, which had the skins bleed a little bit of color into it.
Okay.
And then that'll help. That'll be a wine or a rosé produced by a champagne producer. So it's still champagne, but it's a champagne rosé.
All right. If I wanted to really go whole hog, and money was no object. Now, I know everybody talks about Dom Perignon and things like that. What's the best really big splurge bottle of champagne that somebody could get?
Well, I mean, if you were going to get something, if you asked me, then I would probably go for something like a Krug, Grand Cuvée. It's not really going to break the bank. I mean, you can get that for around $150.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
it's a lot, but it's not. I thought you were going to say, well, you got to get this, and it's $500 or $1,000 a bottle.
You can definitely spend. You can really splurge if you want. I mean, Moët Chandon actually makes a 3-liter size that has laser engravings, et cetera, and that comes in at about $12,000. But you're going to purchase that from an auction house. That's
I'm not getting that at Walgreens. I can't run across the street. Pick that up.
You're definitely not going to find that there. Yeah.
All right. For the budget conscious. Now we mentioned the Kirkland champagne, and I buy a lot of stuff at Costco, so I got no problem with that. If somebody's looking for a sparkling wine, halfway decent, $20, maybe a little less. What would be a good solid thing to enjoy tonight?
Oh, there's tons of them. One of my favorites that you can get from California is Scharfenberger. It comes in around the $15 price point and made out of Anderson Valley, California. Graham Beck is one of my favorite producers that you can get from South Africa. They make both a Brut and a Rosé, and that comes in around the $15 price point. If you want to go with Cavas are made out of local Spanish grape varietals, so most varietals that people haven't heard of before. But they're still aged in the bottle, just like champagne. And then you can get the Marqués de Jaleda, or you can get a Vino. Those two come in around the $15 price point. There's tons of different Prosecco that you can get. One of my favorite is made by Bissol. It's Brigueo Prosecco. Comes in around $14. And then if you want to go French and stay under that $20 price point, you can get what they'll call sparkling wine that isn't champagne. They'll call it Cremant.
Okay.
One of my favorite places to get that from is from French Alsace. And you can get Lucien Albrecht Cremant for just under $20.
Well, Michael, that is a lot of options for people. And it comes in handy because some people want to spend a lot, some don't. Everybody should go to WindyCityWineGuy.com. They get all Michael's information. Michael Botiliero is the Windy City Wine Guy. Happy New Year, Michael. It was great talking to you. I hope we do it again.
Hey, same to you, Brian. Call me anytime.
I will. Thanks a lot. All right, what happened there? Pat Benatar, she bailed on us. Doesn't matter. We have to go up to the newsroom. Kim wants to jump in. What's going on, Kim?
Brian, we're getting word that two Munich train stations have been evacuated over a possible terror attack. Police there are asking people to avoid crowds and public transportation. So it's kind of scary around New Year's. It happens to be about 11:20 right now in Munich.
Right.
So we'll keep you posted on that. But we're just starting to hear about that.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll keep you updated on that. And as Berlin or some city canceled their New Year's celebration.
Brussels
altogether. And of course, Homeland Security is on alert in New York, here, everywhere. Everywhere there's a big celebration because it is a huge target. We're going to talk a little about this Chi-Town rising on the other side of the news. But if you're going out tonight, and I know you are, and I know you don't need to be lectured to, so I'm not going to lecture you. I'm not going to tell you not to drink and drive, but be careful. And if you want to help out a good cause and save yourself a lot of trouble, this is good. You can get a safe ride home for people with Uber Events and MAD. They've combined this year. People can go to mad.org/UberEvents, and you can get a custom promo code to share with all the guests at your party. And for every ride purchased through mad.org Uber Events, Uber is going to donate $10 to MAD. So that's a pretty good deal. I know it's going to be crowded tonight on Uber and on Lyft and everything else. But if you're having a party and you see people are... They're enjoying themselves. They're having a few too many, and it's better not to drive. Go to Uber Events, mad.org/UberEvents. You can get them a custom promo code, put it in, and Uber's going to donate $10 to MAD for every ride you use that way. So that is definitely the way to go. I know some people I know are staying close to home. Some people are able to walk. Others are taking public transportation. Don't forget the CTA. After 10 o'clock tonight, you can ride the trains and the buses all the way up till 4 in the morning for free. So that is good. There's a lot of different ways to get around, from old school taxis to your feet to just staying home. But if you want to use Uber, go to Uber Events and mad.org. You can get your ride. You'll pay for it, but then Uber's going to give $10 to Mad for every ride booked through there. So not too shabby. Yeah. On the other side, let's get into this. I want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Over my shoulder, I see the giant star that is affixed to the side of the Hyatt. What do you think about this whole Chi-Town Rising thing? Do you think we need to do this? Are we just trying to compete with New York? And what do you think about the name? Because I've lived here my whole life, and I have never called it Chi-Town. Do you call it Chi-Town, or is this the branding of someone who has no idea what this city is about? We'll get into all of that on the other side, but right now, let's do this on WGN. It's Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna on 720 WGN. Rowan Anna will be back Monday afternoon. I'm here with you today and tomorrow. Been a fun week. Want to thank our good friends over at Lou Malnati's for sending over some New Year's Eve pizza for our little New Year's Eve feast. I know our guests coming up in a little bit will enjoy it, as will we. Thanks to Maggie and Mindy over at Lou's in their marketing department for hooking us up. As always, Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. That is true. They're open tonight until 9. So if you're still looking for a last-minute dinner plan for New Year's Eve, get to Lou Malnati's. But remember, they're only open until 9. So you got a few more hours. You can make it there. They're open until 9. Find one of their 43 Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. So make sure you get some pizza, whether it's the deep dish, the thin crust, the Malnati salad. I can't talk about it enough. I'm a, you know, not that I forego the pizza for the salad, but it's a nice accompaniment. So thanks again to everybody at Lou Malnati's, and they are open tonight until 9. So get over there while you can. All right. We got to talk about the elephant or the giant video star in the room, this Chi-Town Rising thing that up until a month ago was supposed to have some free elements. There was supposed to be a stage right behind me here in Pioneer Court. It was going to, everything was going to be free. And then the promoters and the city started to get a little hinky about crowd control. They're like, well, we don't really want all these people coming into the city because that could just be havoc. Well, that's why you're doing this. Look at Times Square, where there's a million people, and granted, they've been doing it for a long time, but if you're going to do this, then, and you sell it as a free event, then keep it as a free event. Now, it is still free, and you can still use Pioneer Court as a great viewing area. You'll see the star perfectly from Pioneer Court. I'm not quite sure how you'll hear the music and stuff from over there, but that's the thing. So now you're having to pay over $100 to get into the broadcast row or into the private, Corona Beach House. They've got that going. There were some family-friendly events in Millennium Park today, the family countdown. So if you had little kids, you could go down there and see that. But I can't help thinking that it's Chicago just trying to go, hey, look at us. We can do something too. And then we call it Chi-Town Rising, which I said before the news, I've lived here my whole life. I have never said Chi-Town.
Well, and I have not lived here my whole life, and I have heard Chi-Town.
From people who live here?
People refer to it, not who live here, but people who live outside of Chicago.
Well, see, and that's people who live in San Francisco would never call it Frisco. But people who don't will go, oh, yeah, did you go to Frisco? People go, ugh. People who live in San Francisco would never do it. People who live in Chicago don't call it Chi-Town. So that's my thing. We're doing this big national thing. Because if you don't know, it's not only going to be on NBC5 here, it's being picked up by 40 NBC TV affiliates from Minneapolis to Dallas. They're going to carry the live broadcast starting at 11:30. And then it can be seen on all sorts of other NBC properties. So Cozy TV, it's their digital television network. So they're saying, wow, the TV viewing of this is way, way more than we expected, even though we cut some of the free stuff and we've got people coming. And then it's being hosted by Chicago's very own nobody. Mario Lopez is hosting it. Mario Lopez, who, as far as I know, has no ties to Chicago. He has ties to NBC, you know, and he's got ties to all the kids from Saved by the Bell. But I don't know. I don't think he has ties to Chicago. So do you, and I know, listen, I know Ryan Seacrest isn't from New York, but Ryan Seacrest inherited the mantle from Dick Clark. And so that's a whole big thing. And Dick Clark had been doing it forever. And New York is different. But this somehow to me feels like a game of catch up that we can never win. And a name that just bothers me. It call it Chicago Rising, or call it, we're rising from what? That's the other thing. I know it's because the star, instead of dropping like the ball in Times Square, is going to climb up the building, and it cost $1 million to build this star and the rigging and all the hoists that are going to drag it up the side of the Hyatt. A lot of expense, and they already said, listen, we're not going to make the money this year, but if this thing catches on, oh man, we're going to make money down the road.
I think the timing, too, is bad with the name, because it sounds like we're rising from the ashes over all this horrible
all this
stuff
scandals.
That's been going on. And I think just the timing has not helped the name.
No. And I'm wondering, I saw someone make this comment, or heard someone make this comment earlier, and I wonder if it's going to, remember when they were going to do that big Chicago Fire Festival on the river and it was a complete bust?
Yeah,
I got a feeling.
We hope it's a little better than that.
I hope so, too. But
there's some big-name bands that are going to be out there tonight.
Oh, Chicago's going to be there.
The American Authors. Yeah, that's big. That's
DJ,
big time.
No, those. Yeah, they spent some money. But it's in a tight location, which is why they were worried about crowd control, and they didn't want to, you know, put, if they had put another stage out here behind us, it would have been even crazier.
And so, also, as news people that we are, we're also very concerned about all these drunk people being so close to the river.
I didn't even think of that. That is brilliant. If the city were smart, they would have just netted off under the bridges.
Right.
And just
like
had trampolines.
Like in Park, where they just kind of, you know, fence everybody in for Lollapalooza.
Exactly. I think trampolines would have been
Grant
better.
Park.
Don't you think that would have been fun? If people had just, like, if drunks fall off the bridge, they just keep bouncing back up. Listen, I'm just throwing that out there for
but
the promoters to
have next
time.
But I guess everybody behaves at, you know, St. Patrick's Day. There's usually no major problems.
Well, nobody falls in the river.
Well, that's true. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. So we'll go with that. Well, I like the optimism, Kim. That's what we need more of.
I'm trying. It's 2016. I've got a new outlook on life.
Is that right? I think that
I'm starting out positive.
I like it. Sure. And it's not even 2016 yet, but we're starting out positive already. All right. What do you think? Are you going to stay positive, or do you, well, what do you think? 312-981-7200. Fran's been holding on. Hi, Fran. You're on WGN.
Hi. I've been in Chicago 76 years, and I think the name is ridiculous. I mean, I've never heard Chi-Town addressed as such. So I think the Mario
Lopez
person is a sop to the Emmanuel delegation to He has lost the black vote, obviously, because of these.
Well, Fran, I'll be honest. I think Mario Lopez is on there because he has a show on NBC. That's why they got Mario Lopez.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how they're tying it all in. But so you don't like the name?
No, I don't like the name at all, I think it's ridiculous.
All right. Well, Happy New Year, Fran. Thanks for calling. Fran's sentiment is being echoed nonstop on the text line. From the 815, I hate the name for the celebration. People who say Chi-Town say Willis Tower. And what the heck does Mario Lopez have to do with Chicago? We don't have anyone from here with a name to do the show? Yes, we do. It's obviously being produced by someone out of town. From 630, I heard Chi-Town years ago when I was fairly new in Illinois. Another one hates the name. Mario... Mario may not have ties to Chicago, but he is very pretty, according to one texter. Well, sure, and that's important on television. You got to be pretty. Crowd control, that's the reason it's 150. Uh-huh. It could be a ticketed event without charging for tickets. That from Sue. That's what originally, again, it was going to be free. And then they decided they were going to eliminate the free parts, even though they say there's still plenty of places you can see it for free. You can see the fireworks for free. Will you get close enough to hear the music for free? We'll find out tomorrow when everybody is either praising this or slamming it. Again, I don't know why we needed it. We have the very nice show on Channel 7. And what happened to Mark Giangreco and Janet Davies? They got bumped to Ryan Cheverini and, who's his co-host on Chicago Live? I can't remember her name. I'll figure it out. But anyway, they're doing it now. So Giangreco and Davies have the night off. And I will miss them because I always enjoyed watching Janet Davies as the night went on and Giangreco as the night went on, especially back in the day when things got very, very wild. Wow, what was that? All right, here's a few things you need to know about this Chicago Rising. It is a new tradition, according to the releases, for celebrating New Year's in Chicago, featuring a lineup of celebrity and musical guests. It's Mario Lopez in Chicago. An epic countdown featuring a gigantic Chicago star rising into the night sky and a dazzling fireworks display at midnight. Chi-Town Rising was named for the ascending star that differentiates Chicago from ball drops around the world and symbolizes the city's rich history of rising in the face of adversity and meet the opportunities of the new year. So we are rising in the face of adversity. Did you know that? We'll see. 312-981-7200. That's how you get a hold of me. Jackie's been hanging on. Hi, Jackie.
Hey. Just a quick comment. I grew up in Southern California, and, of course, we call it Southern California.
Sure.
But they call it Cali now.
Oh.
And I can't stand that name. But I think it's a younger kid's thing because my niece also grew up in Southern California, and she calls it Cali. So I think Chi-Town may be, to me, it's a younger, you know, bringing in the younger generation, and they have their own terminology.
I guess. I mean, that's an interesting theory, and it makes sense. But
yep.
When you've got a city this big and you've got so many people, I don't know if it accurately represents us. But that's what they went with, and now
I don't like it either. I don't like it either. Chi-Town.
Yeah.
I like Chicago.
So do I. Thanks, Jackie. Happy New Year.
You're welcome.
Take care, Val Warner. Oh, I got all choked up because I couldn't remember Val's name. So, yes, Val Warner is Ryan Cheverini's host, and they are going to be doing the big Channel 7 show tonight. And now it'll be up against the big live broadcast of Chicago Rising. See, Chi-Town, I can't even say Chi-Town. It makes me makes my skin crawl. But that's what we have to do. Hi, Ann, you're on WGN.
Oh, goodness sakes, I just hate that thing. To me, we're Chicago. The Chicago Rising to me is sort of implying on all these walks and things we're having, because part of Chicago seems to be rising.
There's an uprising.
But that's basically it. And to me, it's Chicago. And as I had mentioned to the young man, I feel it's got to do with the millennial business. And I tell you, there's a lot of older people in Chicago. There may be millennials, but there's a lot of older people.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they figure the older people aren't going to come stand outside at 11:30 on New Year's Eve and freeze to watch a star go up the side of a building.
All right, let me put it this way. Are they doing it for free, or is it being charged for?
Well, they're charging now.
Well, and I meant even the city. They're paying. They're paying somebody to come.
I'm still trying to figure out how that goes. I know they're saying it's going to lose money. So I think the promoter is putting it on in hopes that down the road they'll get more corporate sponsorship and it will become a money-making venture. So that's the goal.
Well, I absolutely hate it, and I hate giving up. Chicago's known around the world. Chicago is...
And I feel your pain, and I appreciate your call. Happy New Year to you. Just a little trivia from the texter in the 630. The Chi-Town Hustler was a 70s-era drag racing team who was based in Chicago. All right. There you go. I'm not saying people haven't used it before, but I think, we're being... that's not how we always refer to ourselves. All right. A couple other things. It says when to arrive. Live entertainment begins at 7 on the countdown stage. The television broadcast begins shortly after 11 and ends at 12:30 a.m. A lot of ways to get there. Obviously, public transportation. You can take the orange, green, purple, pink, or brown lines. The buses are running, Uber, Lyft, And they say there's a lot of parking if you want to park in the Grant Park or Millennium Park garages. And that's a five-minute walk from Broadcast Boulevard, where you have to have a ticket to get in. And then you have to also have a ticket for the Corona Beach House. And there's viewing, they say, from the Grand Ballroom at Navy Pier. And you can also just stand for free right outside the Allstate Showcase Studio, because not only will you be able to watch Chi-Town Rising, you'll be able to watch Steve and Johnny do their phenomenal New Year's Eve broadcast, which will be happening right in here. And you know what that costs you? Nothing. That's fine entertainment for free. All right. We'll get to more of your calls, more of your texts, more talk about this Chi-Town Rising business on the other side. But right now, a woman who rose earlier, and she's so high that she's still in the air. It's SkyCam 9 and Sarah Gindra. All right, let's get back to some more of your calls and texts on and tweets about the Chi-Town Rising. I actually got a tweet from Chuck. It's at Brian Noonan Show on Twitter. He says, Mark Giannegreco and Janet Davey still part of Channel 7's New Year's Eve show, so that is good to know. And some people weighing in. We've had a lot of people hating the Chi-Town name, saying they don't know when Chi-Town was being used. Why are we using it? Let's see. Brian, the only reference Chi-Town I can recall was in the old C.W. McCall record Convoy. In it, there is a lyric that says, when we finally hit that Chi-Town. Oh, that's right. They were trying to shake the Bears. Not the Chicago Bears, the Cubs. I am very positive, and that 2016 is my year. I'm 61 years old, born and raised here, and we used to say Chi-Town. That from a texter in the 773. From the 740, 30 years ago, some Greyhound drivers called Chicago Chi-Town. That's from Jay in Ohio. And let's see. I would pay to see Steve and Johnny's show before I pay for the Chi-Town Rising. Easily. You know, that's it. So 815, for Pete's sake, get over yourself. The young people are excited, and I hope they enjoy themselves. I am 80 years young. There you go. So there you go. Let's get to Regina. She's been hanging on at 312-981-7200. Hi, Regina. You're on WGN.
Hi. Happy New Year and healthy New Year to you.
Happy and healthy to you as well.
As I was I'm 76, and growing up, we called it Chi-Town. And if you are really, really in the know, you just called it Chi.
Really?
Yes. We always called it Chi-Town.
And when was this again?
I'm 76, and when I was a teenager, I used to go downtown.
All right. You called Chi, just Chi?
If you were really cool, you called it Chi, and, you know, people didn't know, called it Chi-Town.
All right. See, maybe it went out of fashion, because...
Absolutely, you know, politically correct and all that.
All right. Well, Regina, yeah. Happy New Year to you. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Listen, resident Mario Lopez, Steve Harvey would have been a much better pick. I think he works for NBC. Yeah, Steve Harvey works for NBC right across the courtyard in the tower. Steve Harvey would have been a great pick. Unfortunately, he would have wished everybody a Merry Christmas at midnight. And I know that's a weak joke, but we all know Steve's coming off a rough patch at the Miss Universe pageant. But if I can give kudos to Steve Harvey for tweeting himself or maybe it was a Facebook post or a tweet, whatever it was, on Christmas morning. It was a shot of him out by what I can only imagine is the pool by his home, and it said, Happy Easter. And it was from his account. So Steve Harvey has a very good, great sense of humor, and obviously a good sense of humor about what he did. He copped to it right away. So that was, very funny. All right, real quick, say hi to Patrick. What's going on, Patrick?
I'm good. I believe the name Chi-Town Rising, it sounds like we're rising from something bad.
Yeah, thank you for the call. Your radio's up too loud, Patrick. But we've mentioned that. What are we rising from? And they say, oh, no, it's not that. We're not rising from anything. It's because the star goes up instead of the ball dropping down. Well, they don't call it New York dropping. They just call it New Year's Eve in Times Square. You just call it New Year's Eve in Chicago, something like that. It's the name. And who knows? I hope it's a success, because I want things to be successful in the city, and I want people to have another reason to come down. But I think it may have been ill-conceived, and I think the fact that, you know, maybe this year, if it goes well, then next year they add some more free stuff. Now, there's not, from what I understand, and I've never been to, have you ever been to Times Square on New Year's Eve, Kim?
No.
No, me either.
I have not. I feel like I think I would feel like a caged animal.
Yeah. I don't know.
That is something I mean, I...
Right, because you can't leave.
No.
Once you get in there, you're stuck.
And you are probably so sardined in there with all those other people, there's just no escape.
I couldn't imagine it. And I don't know if they have any sort of free activity, like free entertainment. I think you just stand there. I think you just stand there and pray that you don't wet your pants.
And you probably get a much better view on TV.
Sure, exactly. But, you know, we'll see what happens tonight. It'll be all broken down tomorrow. We'll all talk about it tomorrow and see if it went well or not. Listen, do you think you know what happened in 2015? Are you an expert at trivia? Do you like to win valuable prizes? Well, if you do, hang on. I'll tell you what you got to do in a minute. WGN.
Shall we play a game?
It's a new game, only this time the game is real. Can you handle it?
Everybody play the game.
Play.
Time to play the game.
Oh my goodness, it has been too long since we have heard the theme for America's favorite radio quiz show, the formerly Overnight Arcade, now the Afternoon Arcade, here on WGN. I am your quizmaster, Brian Noonan, in for Ro Khan and Anna DeVellantes until Monday. If you didn't get through to play along with us on the air, then by all means, grab somebody that you know, run outside, tackle someone, tell them they must play with you, because during the Afternoon Arcade, gambling not only encouraged, but expected. Let's meet our players, shall we? First, we say hi to Matthew. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am well. Happy New Year. Where are you from, Matthew?
Northbrook.
Northbrook. And what do you do for a living?
Real estate engineering.
Real estate engineering. What does that mean?
I do both, real estate and engineering.
Oh, so you got to, look at you with two jobs. Very nice.
Yeah,
very
nice. Yeah, paid property taxes.
Sure. Do you know a lot about the current events? Did you pay attention during 2015?
I listened to the news.
All right.
On the radio.
Well, listen, the news on the radio, as we know from Kim Gordon's report, is top notch. So I think you're pretty well informed. Let's see who you're playing.
Better than Facebook.
Exactly. Don't get your news from Facebook. Please. Let's see who you're playing against. Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Welcome to the game. What do you do, Kathy?
I do accounts payable.
Accounts payable. Very nice. And where do you live?
In Bartlett.
Bartlett. All right. Now, did you pay attention during 2015, Kathy?
Yeah, pretty much so.
All right. Let's see. Because here's what we're doing. We're playing 2015 trivia on the Afternoon Arcade. I'm going to ask you a question. If you get it right, you get a point. If not, your opponent will get a chance to steal. The first one to five correct answers, or whoever is leading when time runs out, will be our big winner. Matthew, Kathy, do you understand the rules? Are you ready to play the game?
Yes.
I'm ready to play.
All right. Let's flip it up and see who goes first. The big flip. And there we go. And Matthew gets the first question. Matthew, here we go. 2015 trivia on the Afternoon Arcade. Matthew, name the French satirical newspaper that was attacked by two gunmen in January of 2015.
Oh, boy. J. Suisse Charlie was...
You're close.
Charlie Oberon or something?
No, that is incorrect. That means, Kathy, you get a chance to steal. I told you this was not going to be simple. Name the French satirical newspaper, Kathy, that was attacked by two gunmen in January of 2015.
Charlie Hebdo.
Charlie Hebdo is correct. Very nice. Kathy with the steal to start things off. That's how we like to see it. All right, we come to Kathy. We stay with Kathy because this is her question. On March 6, 2015, a NASA probe entered orbit around Ceres, becoming the first spacecraft to visit a dwarf planet. Was the name of that probe Thor, Destiny, Odyssey, or Dawn?
Odyssey.
Oh, that is incorrect. That means Matthew gets a chance to steal. I'll repeat the question, Matthew, because that's what I do. On March 6, 2015, a NASA probe entered orbit around Ceres, becoming the first spacecraft to visit a dwarf planet. What was the name of that probe? Thor, Destiny, Odyssey, or Dawn?
Dawn.
Yes, look at that. Oh, my goodness, he steals it back. And at the end of round one, Matthew, the real estate engineer from Northbrook, and Kathy from Bartlett, the accounts payable executron, tied at one. Very nicely done, both of you. All right, we move on. Let's go to Matthew. We stay with you. Matthew, in April 2015, the World Health Organization declared that which disease had been eradicated from the Americas? Was it rubella, mumps, whooping cough, or industrial disease?
Rubella.
Rubella is correct. Nicely done, Matthew. All right, Kathy, we come back to you. Don't be nervous. You're not nervous, are you, Kathy?
No, I'm not.
You don't sound nervous. I don't know why I put that on you. You sound very confident. Some, maybe I'm nervous. All right, Kathy, which team won Super Bowl 49 on February 1st, 2015? Which team won Super Bowl 49 on February 1st, 2015? Was it the Seahawks, the Steelers, the Patriots, or the Saints?
Patriots.
The Patriots.
Awesome!
Yes! Tying it up at the end of the second round. It is all tied at two. Oh, my goodness. Matthew, we come back to you. 2015 trivia on the Afternoon Arcade. On May 23rd, this country became the first to legalize same-sex marriage by popular vote. Was that country Canada, Ireland, Belgium, or France?
Ooh, Belgium.
Belgium. That is incorrect. That means Kathy gets a chance to steal and take the lead. Kathy, on May 23rd, this country became the first to legalize same-sex marriage by popular vote. Was that country Canada, Ireland, Belgium, or France?
Ireland.
Ireland is correct. Kathy takes the lead with the steal, and we stay with Kathy for another question. Not nervous anymore, are you, Kathy? I was never nervous.
No, I'm not.
I know you were never nervous. I don't know. Here we go. You like the movies, Kathy?
Yes.
All right. What film was awarded the Best Picture Oscar on February 22nd, 2015? Was it Selma, American Sniper, Whiplash, or Birdman?
Birdman.
Birdman.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Wow. Meg Ryan, very excited about that. Look at that. Kathy takes a commanding lead at the end of the third round with a steal. She now leads Matthew 4-2. All right, Matthew, we're coming back to you. Time is the tyrant. Let's see if we can get a couple rounds in. Matthew, what major sports governing body president resigned in June of 2015 amidst an FBI-led corruption investigation? Was it the U.S. Olympic Committee, the NFL, FIFA, or MLB?
FIFA.
Good job. Keep up the good work.
That is absolutely right, Matthew. Nicely done. It was FIFA. Sepp Blatter was that president who resigned. All right, Kathy, we come to you. You have four. If you get this right, you are going to win the game. If not, you'll give Matthew a chance to steal and tie it up. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you confident?
Yes.
All right. Listen, that's all I want to know. Am I confident that I can turn the page to get to the next question? No, but here we go. What automaker was alleged to have rigged results of worldwide emissions tests affecting an estimated 11 million vehicles?
Volkswagen.
Volkswagen for the win.
That is correct.
That is correct. And that means, Kathy, that you have won the Afternoon Arcade. Congratulations.
Yay!
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. I like that sort of enthusiasm. Thank you very much, Kathy. That is very good. Congratulations. All right, so before we go to the traffic hotspots, let me tell you what you've won, Kathy. Kathy, we are going to send you a gift certificate to Rudy's Bar and Grill, a classic Chicago bar and grill located on Madison between Michigan and Wabash. And we're also going to send you a $50 gift certificate to Eli's Cheesecake. The holidays are here, so leave the baking to Eli's and their Chicago bakery. Choose from over 40 flavors of cheesecakes, plus cakes, tarts, and vegan desserts. Visit them online at elicheesecake.com. So congratulations, Kathy, and enjoy your prizes. And let me give you something, Matthew, because it's New Year's Eve and you have made a good effort, and I like to reward effort sometimes just as much as victories. I'm going to send you a $50 gift certificate to Eli's Cheesecake as well. You can visit them online at elicheesecake.com. So happy New Year to both of you. Congratulations on the big win, and thanks for playing our game.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right, Yuna's on the phone. I don't need music. Who needs music? I'll tell you this. After the news, we're going to need some music, and we're going to have it because it's New Year's Eve, and we're going to kick off our big party with Justin Ruff. He's a great R&B artist. He's going to be coming in, doing some in-studio performance here in the Allstate Showcase studio. So get ready for that, because it should be a lot of fun. All right, are they here? Is everybody coming? Oh, that's good news. That is good news. I have a couple more questions. Maybe if we have some more time, we'll give a little something away. I want to, again, thank our friends over at Lou Malnati's, because they provided pizza for the band that's coming in and for everybody up in the newsroom, even though the ladies in the newsroom are not eating pizza right now. They're saving up for their big New Year's Eve feasts later.
We are.
But I figure it's New Year's Eve. I might as well have a couple feasts. So thanks to everybody over at Lou Malnati's. It is the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. They aren't lying. They're open tonight until 9. So all Malnati's locations open till 9 o'clock. If you're thinking, oh, I want to go out, I don't have any. Yes, go to Lou Malnati's. You still have time. You can go to one of their 43 Chicagoland locations, or you can order online and just pick it up. Go to loumalnatis.com, place your order, pizza, sandwiches, salads, whatever you need. Go to Lou Malnati's, and thanks again for their continued generosity here at WGN. We always appreciate everybody. There's nobody who sees Lou Malnati's come through the door and says, oh, no, there's pizza. It's always, hey, is there more pizza? You need all that pizza. Is there more pizza? Sure, there's always more pizza from Lou Malnati's. So there you go. Enjoy that. All right. Speaking of the Blackhawks, they are coming up at 6:30. 6:30 pregame with Judd, and then John and Troy have all the action from Colorado, where the Blackhawks taking on the Avalanche tonight. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. Not a bad way to start off your New Year's Eve. And then after the game, stay right here on WGN, because Steve and Johnny are coming back for a big New Year's Eve show, and it's going to be right down here in the Allstate Showcase studio. So if you're coming down to Chi-Town Rising, I always wanted to say Chi-Town. I don't know what it's called. The thing with the star and the band across the street. If you're coming down to see that and you're going to be hanging around Pioneer Court, well, then you might as well come and hang outside the windows here at the Allstate Showcase Studio and listen to what Steve and Johnny have to say, because their show is going to be wonderful, as it always is. Did you see this? President Obama is on the first episode of the new season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. Have you ever watched that, Kim?
No, I haven't, but I want to watch this one. I saw bits and pieces of it yesterday.
It's the series. It's a web series on Crackle, but you can find, you know, just Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. If you Google that, it'll take you. And I've watched every one of them, and they are hilarious. Some granted better than others. And the premise is Jerry Seinfeld, who is a car aficionado, picks out a certain type of car for the guest and then picks this guest up. They talk, they drive around, and then they go somewhere for coffee. And this new episode, the first one, President Obama is the guest. So Jerry Seinfeld shows up. He picks him up in a 63 Corvette, this blue, just a gorgeous looking car.
Yeah, and I saw the president was driving it.
Oh, man. But then the Secret Service wouldn't let them out off the grounds.
They're just circling the White House.
Right, circling the White House. Then they move into the limo, the Beast. And they're driving around, and the president goes, you know, I could order a nuclear sub-attack from here. Pretty cool, huh? And it's got heated seats. And I'll tell you, whether you like the president or not, and I know there's people on both sides, when he wants to be, he can be pretty funny and engaging. And he seemed pretty funny here. He chided Jerry Seinfeld for leaving an apple on the table in the Oval Office after he took a bite out of it. Jerry Seinfeld asked him, because after... When the Secret Service wouldn't let them leave in the limo, too, they end up going into the White House kitchen to have the cup of coffee. And Jerry asked him if how many world leaders are completely out of their mind. And the president said, quote, a pretty sizable percentage. He said that the longer some of them are in office, they just end up losing it. At a certain point, your feet hurt and you have trouble peeing. So that's what I... A little too much information from the president.
A little TMI.
But listen, he's the president. If he wants to talk about world leaders not able to make water, Miss Daisy, then I'm fine with that.
He didn't name names, though, did he?
No. I would have liked to. I want to know if he was talking about Putin.
Or Merkel.
Yeah, or any of them. I want to know who has trouble in the can, who's a world leader. Anyway, let's do this, and then we come back. It's news time, and then Justin Ruft comes in, and we're going to have some music to start wrapping up our portion of your New Year's Eve here on WGN. It's Brian Noonan in for Roe and Anna on 720 WGN, the final hour of the big broadcast, because we're out of here a little early tonight due to Blackhawks hockey. So we figured we'd get our New Year's Eve party started a little bit early, and I am happy to welcome into the studio R&B artist Justin Ruft. Justin, thanks. Happy New Year. Thanks for coming in today, man.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It is excellent, and you brought a whole setup. We have some lovely backup singers. You got a guitarist. You got a percussionist over there. Guy sitting on a box. Doesn't look as professional as you would hope. The guitar player, he comes in with the whole thing, then the guy rolls in with a box. What's that all about?
That is the cajon. We do a nice stripped set.
Nice.
And so I've got the crew with me today.
So you're a Chicago artist, but you're not originally from Chicago. You come to us via Cincinnati.
Yes, Cincinnati, Ohio, raised.
And how did you, when did you come to Chicago? What brought you here?
I attended Roosevelt University for a year. Studied vocal jazz. I'm a huge lover of jazz music, and so I've got that foundation. And my mother didn't want me to go too far, so Chicago was the next best thing as far as getting out into a place where the music scene was thriving, where I could really get my music out.
And that is it. The scene is still thriving. For a while, it was, you know, you heard a lot about blues here, and then you heard some rock coming up. But there, every genre is represented here, isn't it?
Yes, I love it.
And does that make it easy for an artist to come because you get exposed to so many different kind of things?
Yeah, definitely. And we've received so much love from different artists and different genres of music, I think, because we make sure that we're educated in different styles of music, so we're able to interact with those different artists on a level that they can understand as well.
And the music business, like any kind of showbiz angle, is a tough business. Is it a supportive community here in Chicago?
It is. At first, I think people were... not as supportive because, again, I'm an outsider.
Oh, those Cincinnati people up here
Cincinnati
trying to...
Cincinnati
with their Skyline Chili and their bad attitudes.
Right. Nothing like Skyline Chili. But I think that over time, we really received a lot of love and support.
Yeah. And you said you came to study jazz. Did you like jazz as a young kid, too? Or was it something that evolved from your love of a different kind of music?
Yeah. I went to a performing arts high school in Cincinnati where I studied vocal jazz there, and had some great teachers that really introduced me to jazz music and really helped me build that foundation. And from there, you know, listening to artists like Charlie Parker, Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong, Sarah Vaughan, just studied them and incorporated that into the R&B soul foundation that I had already growing up.
And is that a difficult hybrid, or it would seem that some jazz and some R&B would blend pretty seamlessly?
Mm-hmm. And it does. I think we found a really cool way to incorporate the R&B soul element with the jazz and then a little hip hop as well. So I think we found a really cool way to bridge the gap.
And what is vocal jazz? Is that scat? Is that a style of singing? What exactly is that?
Yeah, definitely. Vocal jazz is one of the main elements of jazz is scatting. And so that's something that I've really incorporated into the R&B hip hop flair that we have too. So it's a really nice, interesting mesh of the three.
And when a lot of people get intimidated by jazz because they don't hear it a lot. And when they do, they can appreciate the musicianship and the artistry, but they don't really get it. How would you describe jazz to someone who's like, I don't know if I can get into it?
It's a feel.
Okay.
That's the one thing I say. It's really a feel. I know that when you think about the side of it where you're having to do a lot of the studying and understanding the music and playing and the different chord progressions and things like that, that's where it gets difficult. But for me, it's always been a feel. And I think bringing that perspective to it is what makes people appreciate it and receive it well.
And one of the reasons, I'm happy you're here, one of the biggest reasons is you have a show tonight, so I can't believe you're going to come in here and perform for us, and you have a show tonight. Now, you're with a guy whose name I have not heard in a while, El DeBarge.
Yes.
So the show is tonight. It's at the Universal Entertainment Center, which is at 11901 South Loomis. Show starts at 11.
Yes.
So how do you partner up with El DeBarge? How does this happen?
Wow, I have been a El DeBarge fan for my entire life. I grew up, my mother sings, and so I was really introduced to a lot of the R&B soul realm of things from her. And I saw that El DeBarge was coming, and I reached out to the venue, and I'm like, listen, I don't care what you have to do. You've got to get me on this bill.
Nice.
I'm his biggest fan. And so they checked out some of my stuff and asked me to come on and do it.
Well, speaking of your stuff, people need to get ready to pre-order the Rough Draft. It's an EP. It's going to be released on January 15th. They can go to iTunes. They can go everywhere. And JustinRoughMusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can go there, too, and you can pre-order it. Because you're going to, once you hear this, you're going to say, I got to get this music. So enough of me yakking. We can like to hear you. Just hearing your speaking voice. The music is going to be phenomenal.
Oh,
I've heard the stuff on the website. It's great. So without further ado, I'm going to let you get to it, and we'll hear a song. What are you going to do for us first?
I'm going to do one of the first tracks off the EP. It's called We Be Lovin'.
Okay.
Was written with Miss Sarah Larice over here. My background singer, best friend, songwriter, business partner. She's everything.
But, wow, look at that.
Yeah, we keep it in-house. But it's the first track off the EP, so I hope you guys enjoy it.
I'm sure we will.
All right.
All right, Justin Ruff on WGN. I'll let you make your way over there, and then we got to meet all these fine people, even the man on the box. Got to meet everybody. And our thanks to Krista Flores for helping us with the engineering. She's doing the professional mix. Now, you thought this was just going to be AM radio. No, we got a mix. We got an engineer. It's crazy. Got everything.
Hello.
We're warming the studio up for Steve and Johnny later.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
One more time, yeah, yeah. All right, okay.
Hey.
Okay, all right. All right, yeah, yeah. All right, yeah, yeah. All right, yeah. I'll sing it again. All right, okay. Okay, all right, yeah. Here we go, yeah, yeah. Ooh, baby, your love is so good, so good. But when you leave me, say, baby, I can't help myself, I'll be going insane. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. 'Cause what you do keeps me in the mood. I'm so into you. Oh, baby, and we'll be fine. I can't sleep at night, though we make it up so right.
Hey.
So come over tonight, 'cause we'll be
with me.
Yeah.
Baby.
All right, okay.
Baby.
Say, all right.
We be. So we be loving, loving, we be.
Yeah.
We be. No. We be. Say, all right, okay, all right.
We be.
Let me start right here.
Loving.
Say, little, di but do be play do. So, babble, boo, we did love. Silly bot the kid I did it and go silly deep body get and give babu boop with the boo hit a little do so silly sing it for me, lady, say, yeah.
We be.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We be.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hey.
We be. We be, okay, yeah, yeah.
We be. Say, we be loving, loving, we be.
All right. We be. All right, okay, yeah. Sing.
We be.
All right, okay, all right.
We be.
Say, we be loving.
One more time,
say, we be. All right, okay.
We be.
See, boy, you got to get low to the little.
We be.
We be, okay, yeah, yeah.
We be.
We be.
We be loving.
We be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey.
Say, we be.
All right, yeah, 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 yeah. Bring it down right here.
Loving.
We be loving. Last time I didn't. We be. Say we be loving.
Wow. Wow, Justin Ruff and his back up. We will meet all of the fine people that he has brought with him. That was We Be Lovin'. The EP, The Rough Draft, is available for pre-order right now on Amazon and iTunes. You can also go to JustinRuffMusic.com. Follow Justin on Facebook and Twitter, Justin Ruff. And if you're looking for something to do tonight, you want to see Justin and El DeBarge, that is at Universal Entertainment Center, 11901 South Loomis. The show's at 11, so hopefully we won't blow out Justin's voice before he gets there. We'll talk to the rest of the group, and we'll talk more with Justin and have some more fine music for a New Year's Eve right after we go and talk to Sarah Jindra, who is checking the traffic hotspots for us. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN, in for Rowan Anna. In studio with me, Justin Ruff. JustinRuffMusic.com is the website. That's how you follow Justin on Facebook and Twitter. And you need to download this EP right away, The Rough Draft. You can pre-order it on Amazon and iTunes. It's going to drop. As the kids like to say in the music business, is that what the kids say in the music business, Justin? That the album's going to drop?
It's going
to
drop.
On January 15th, I'm trying to be as hip as possible. Your backup singers cannot believe that an old man just said the album's going to drop. But that's what I do. So go there and pre-order. And tonight, if you're looking for something to do, I mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention it again. It's an old-school New Year's Eve show with El DeBarge at the Universal Entertainment Center, 11901 South Loomis. The show starts at 11. Now, I'm talking to you, Justin. Obviously, you're the front man, but you have a fine, fine group of people behind you.
Yes.
You want to introduce everybody who's with you?
Yes. Ashley, go ahead and wave. This is Ashley Otis on background vocals. Next to her, the lead background singer. The leader of everything.
You can say hi. Your mic's right. You can say hi.
Sarah Grant.
It's radio. The waving doesn't really work, except
right.
for the crowd that is gathered outside the Allstate Showcase studio. You guys like Justin so far? Yeah, look at that. All right. And who's the guitar player?
The ever so dope Mr. Austin Ferris.
Austin
guitar.
Looks happy to be here.
Right.
He's like, I got a show at 11, man. Right. I need this.
And then on the cajon here, who kills on drums, but we had to do an intimate setting today, but Mr. Chris Singleton.
Very nice. You guys all sounded phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And how, so had you known, have you known these guys a long time? Did you meet them here? How do you come to put together a group to support you?
Yeah, so Sarah and I actually are from Cincinnati.
Okay.
We've been friends for about 10 years. And she went to high school with me, so we came here. And she's the mouthpiece for me. She does all the talking and she's the front person. So
she's being very quiet today.
Yeah.
Oh, she's just waving.
She said, I'll give you your moment today.
Oh. That's very nice of you, sir.
But through that and through her, she attended Columbia College, and that's how I was able to meet everyone else up here. They all attended Columbia College as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so now you've got a show tonight. Is there... I would have imagined that if you were saving yourself up for a show tonight, you're going, I can't do this. What kind of rituals do you have to prepare for, you know, a much bigger show than this? This is probably, it's still taxing on your voice, but it's
yes.
got to be different tonight.
Yeah, but you know what works? I found that gummy bears really help.
Really?
Gummy bears. I think it's
wow.
the glycerin in them. They really help the vocal cords. So gummy bears and water. As
wow.
long as I have that, I'm good.
For all you young singers out there,
yes.
take Justin Ruff's advice. Get gummy bears
get
and water.
Get you a nice bag of gummy bears and you'll be all right.
Now, since you've come to Chicago, you've done a number of different things. You've
yes.
you've been on Windy City Live. You've been in a couple contests. Tell us some of the other things that you've been doing.
Yeah, so I did Windy City Live. They had a Search for a Star competition a few years back, and I made top 12 out of 800 singers for that. So that was
wow.
pretty awesome.
It's not bad.
Yeah. I just wrapped up an interview with Jet Magazine.
Cool.
I did an interview about a year ago, and I've still been in close contact with Soul Train.
Okay.
So I've been working with them. And then I've got my own show at the House of Blues on January 29th.
Is that right?
Yes.
January 29th, House of Blues?
Mm-hmm. 29th. And it'll be my EP release event.
Ah, okay. Very yeah. cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, you have to keep in touch. We'll remind people about that, too.
Yeah,
We've
definitely.
Got a couple minutes before the news. You want to give us another song?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. What are we going to hear?
We'll do a little bit of Faded Picture, another song off the project.
Sounds good. All right. This is Justin Ruff. Again, go to JustinRuffMusic.com. That's his website. That's the handle on Facebook and Twitter and all the social media. So you can find out what's happening with Justin. And if you're enjoying the music, you can pre-order The Rough Draft, which drops on January 15th.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Gimme, gimme.
Give me one reason to stay here. Why would I stay here, yeah? When you do not love me, it's so clear. So why would I stay here, yeah? Lately I've been thinking, you don't even care what you do to me. It's so plain to see. Now that love is gone away, no more wishing you would stay. I'm so gone, I can't think straight. I'm leaving, yeah, yeah. So you can keep the faded picture, Sarah, sing it, yeah. Keep the faded picture, eh.
I
keep the faded picture. Say you can keep the faded picture. So do 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 do. Yeah. I won't try no more. Won't try no more. I won't try no more. No. Siddle do little do.
I won't try no more.
So babu boo boo did ladder.
Won't try no more.
Siddle da do bit little do.
Won't try.
Justin Ruff and Company here on WGN. We're going to have more with Justin and the rest of the group. On the other side of the news, we're going to talk to Tom Skilling. Maybe we have a little jazz under Tom Skilling. I don't know if Tom has ever been accompanied by jazz, but we'll figure it all out. We'll do that on the other side. It's 720 WGN. Brian Noonan in for Rokon and Anna DeVellantes on 720 WGN. Yeah, there we go. A little Rock and Roll Lang Syne. Because it is New Year's Eve. The revelers are out. We've got people in hats, people all ready to go. New Year's Eve is in full swing. After the Blackhawks game, if you want to keep your New Year's Eve fun rolling, don't forget to be listening to Steve and Johnny because they are marking, I think it's their 21st New Year's Eve show here on WGN. So that is going to be fun. Blackhawks coming up in about 20 minutes. But first, I got to find out what Tom is doing to usher in the baby new year. I'm guessing you're not going to wear a diaper and a top hat on the news tonight.
I think not. Right. I'd like to hang on to the job, you know, Brian.
Sure, you got a trip to Bora Bora to pay for.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have time to be messing around.
No, that's. I don't know that I'd. Even without the vacation penny, I'm not sure I'd want to do that, but. No, it's going to be a nice quiet one. I heard you saying that you were planning the same thing,
yeah.
Brian. So
I think, you know, it's funny. My daughter is 19, and she's already saying, you know, when I'm 21, I'm going to be going out and doing all kinds of parties. And I said, you should. And I did when I was young, and I'm sure you did too, Tom. And then you get to an age, you're like, I'd rather just enjoy it with a couple of friends and my family at home.
Absolutely. I kind of like the quiet time. You know, it's but a lot of folks have a lot of fun. And,
oh, yeah.
Boy, there's a lot of stuff to...
There is a lot to do.
You know, to take in, you know, through other people's experiences and, you know, and their, television broadcasts. You say Steve and Johnny are on tonight.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, and I'm happy that other people go out because, like you said, I can live vicariously through them.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right.
I could sit in the big chair and go, look at all those people down at Chi-Town Rising.
Right.
They're freezing.
I know, and it is chilly.
I'm watching people come by, Tom, and the layers keep getting thicker, so I'm guessing this is going to be a trend.
Yeah, well, you know, it looks like a chilly weekend, that's for sure. Look, we've been spoiled, Brian. I mean, we closed the books tonight at midnight on the warmest December in 92 years around here. Four consecutive months of not just, you know, surpluses, but we've been way above normal. So you bring a seasonable air mass in here, a temperature at the level it, you know, typically is this time of the year, and this feels like... You know, it's barbaric, and it's really not, you know.
I know. You're right, though. It is because we've been so spoiled. Now everybody's like, oh, it's so cold.
Right.
Where last year we would have been, oh, 20s? That's not bad at all.
One of my viewers sent me a picture of the ice along the lake a year ago, you know, and remember that? We had record ice coverage on the Great Lakes. And of course, that spilled over into spring and early summer because the ice was there and had to melt. It kept the lakes cold. So we had a slow arrival on, you know, spring and summer's warmth. So at least we'll not be dealing with that. It is interesting, though. There is decidedly we're going to warm back up a little to above normal levels next week, the middle and end of the week. But we could get a period of lake effect snow Sunday night, Monday, and before that happens. And there is a kind of a pattern change that seems to be taking us colder mid-month. So that that's going to bring some pretty wintry weather back in here again. But, you know, we had to have some of that.
Yeah, you got to. And we've been talking about El Nino all week, Tom.
Yeah.
So with now with these patterns changing, you say, so El Nino will bring some things one way and then everything will switch the other way? Is
well,
that all part of
you know what's
it,
interesting is, and I'm watching this collection of thunderstorms that are showing up in the central equatorial Pacific. You know, if we get the warmest water to back up into the central equatorial Pacific, then the character of the El Nino changes. A strong El Nino will oftentimes bring us mild, less snowy winter weather. But if this warm water, instead of butting up against the South American coastline, backs westward, then you get into what's called a Madoki El Nino. I've mentioned this before.
Yes.
And this is where the jet stream can come in from the northwest at times, as it will the next couple of days, by the way. That's one of the things that's cooled us off. Another thing is we have an extraordinary area of the country under snow cover. While we've been warm here, it's been snowing repeatedly through the Plain States and the Rockies. They've been unseasonably cool out there. To ask anybody out in California or Arizona how chilly it's been. On the other hand, if you have friends who are vacationing down in Florida, they've had record warmth.
Yeah.
And you know, they're going to continue through the holiday weekend in the 80s, so this was certainly the year to, if you're going to go on vacation somewhere, to do it down in Florida.
And wasn't it just a month or two ago where they were having torrential rains
for days
at a time?
They may go back to that again, Brian, because, you know, these El Nino patterns favor unseasonable rains and storminess through the southern tier of states, which is why typically in a strong El Nino, they have below normal temperatures because they have so much cloud cover. And precipitation, we tend to be above normal here, and as you go north into Canada. Yeah, you know, interesting, too, a little lobe of warm air went up to the North Pole. This has been making some news. Our models first started forecasting a near-freezing temperature up on the North Pole, which is like 50 degrees above normal for this time of the year for that region.
Whoa.
This record storm developed out in the North Atlantic, and the frontside circulation of that sent record rains into the UK. There's terrible flooding going on there, but it also pumped warm air deeply into the Arctic. And there are buoys operated up there by the World Meteorological Organization that have confirmed the fact that the temperature very close to the North Pole and definitely to the south of the North Pole got up above freezing, which is amazing because their normal temperature this time of the year is around at least 10 below zero up there.
So it's balmy.
Yeah.
Balmy at the North Pole. Santa's chilling.
Exactly.
Just out sunbathing. Well, listen, Tom, I appreciate you jumping on early tonight because you know the Blackhawks are coming on,
I know.
That's why we had to talk to you early. But I want to have a very happy New Year and a wonderful
too,
New Year's
Brian.
Eve.
You too, Brian.
Are you going to be around tomorrow?
Yes.
Then
yes,
we'll
indeed.
Talk tomorrow.
So we'll talk then.
But can you give us a quick forecast before you take off?
Yes. Tonight, more cloudy than not. Maybe a few flurries toward morning. Nothing terribly important there. A low of 19 and tomorrow a high of 23. Coldest day of the season so far with wind chills 0 to 18 above during the day. So it's going to be cold. What's going to happen the next few days, too, the winds are going to pick up. So we're going to have merry wind with these cold temperatures. So that's why the wind chills will be pretty uncomfortable. And then Saturday, sunshine and up around 30. And Sunday, increasing cloudiness up around 29 with perhaps some flurries in the afternoon and maybe some lake effect snow showers. Late Sunday night and Monday as we go into next week.
All right. Well, as I said, have a nice New Year's Eve.
You
and happy
too,
New Year,
Brian.
And I will talk to you tomorrow, Tom. Stay warm.
You too. Thank you,
all right,
Brian.
Take care. That's Tom Skilling. We will talk to him again tomorrow night at 6:30. We're going to bring Justin Ruff and his crew back in, have a little more wonderful smooth jazz, some scat, whatever they're going to do for us. We're going to do that to start wrapping things up in advance of Blackhawks hockey. Final few minutes, Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. I will be back with you tomorrow at 3. Rowan Anna will be back with you on Monday afternoon. Blackhawks hockey coming up at 6:30. I welcome back into the studio Justin Ruff, who has a big show tonight. If you are looking for something to do and you are down on South Loomis at 11901 South Loomis, you'll be in front of the Universal Entertainment Center where Justin is performing an old-school New Year's Eve show with El DeBarge. You can go to justinruffmusic.com. get all the information. You follow him on Facebook and Twitter there. And you must, and yes, I said must, go and pre-order The Rough Draft, which is the EP that will be released on January 15th. And then we'll find out more because you got a show in January at the House of Blues for the big release party. So you're going on tonight. You're going in front of a guy with, you're opening for El DeBarge, who you said you've admired for a long time.
Yeah.
Does it? Are there nerves? Is butterflies? Or do you just go, oh, listen, let him follow me? You go in a little cocky.
There are definitely nerves.
Yeah.
Because, again, these are people that, this is a person in particular that I've looked up to for so long.
Right.
And you kind of want, as an artist, that approval from the legendary people that have come before you. And I definitely am definitely nervous and excited.
Yeah.
Everything is kind of just bagged in one.
And you said you called the promoter and said, listen, you got to get me on this bill. Do they then have to go to El DeBarge and say, listen, we've got this artist, Justin Ruff. We like him. We think he's good. Does he have to approve you being on the show?
I don't think he does. So I think this will, so that's what makes it even more nerve-wracking. Ah. Because this will be the first time where he's probably going to hear me, and it's going to be I don't know.
Who's this guy?
Right,
where
right.
Where did he come from? What's his story? Well, we know your story. You came from Cincinnati. You made your home here in Chicago, and you're achieving quite a bit of success. Congratulations on all of it.
Thank you.
And thank you again for bringing everybody in. Give us a quick introduction of everybody that you brought with you again one more time.
So again, on background vocals, we've got Miss Ashley Otis here, then Miss Sarah Grant, and Austin Ferris on guitar, and Christopher Singleton on the cajon.
Very nice. All right, what are we going to close out with?
Oh, you know, can we do a little Prince?
Yeah. Right? Can you do a little Prince?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see. I say yes, but it's up to you. If
all
you
right.
think you can, let's bring some Prince.
Let's do it.
All right. So it's Justin Ruff and his fine cadre of backup artists. Tonight you can see him again at the Universal Entertainment Center, 11901 South Loomis. Go to Justin Ruff Music. Pre-order the EP Rough Draft. It comes out January 15th, and it is going to be fine. All right. I don't even know what Prince song they're going to do, but I will say this, that during the news, I heard what I thought was Prince warming up. So this is going to be fun. Take it away.
Here we go.
Don't have to be beautiful to turn me on. Just need your body, baby, baby, from dusk till dawn.
Hey.
Don't need experience.
I see you.
To turn me out. Hey, just leave it all up to me. I'm gonna show you what it's all about. Say, ladies, yeah.
Don't have to be rich to be my girl.
Go, baby.
Don't have to be cool, hey, to rule my world.
Ain't no particular sign I'm more compatible with.
I just want your extra time in your
key. Ooh. Yeah, 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 baby. You got to not talk dirty, baby.
Hey.
If you won't impress me, you can't be too flirty, mama. I know how to undress me.
Yeah.
Wanna be your fantasy? Maybe you could be mine. Just leave it all up to me. We gon' have a good time, babe.
You don't have to be rich, no, to be my girl.
You
don't have to be cool to rule my world.
Ain't no particular sign I'm more compatible with.
I just want your extra time and your,
oh, your kiss. Whoa, babe.
Hook one more time.
Don't gotta be rich.
Don't have to be rich to be my girl.
You
don't have to be cool, baby, to rule my world.
Oh, I know particular sign I'm compatible.
Just want your
kiss. Wow. Justin Ruff on WGN. Fantastic. Go to justinruffmusic.com. Follow him on Facebook, Twitter. Pre-order the Ruff Draft, the EP that comes out on January 15th. It's on Amazon, iTunes. You can get it everywhere. And we will definitely remind you when Justin has his show for it, the House of Blues, for the big album release. Thank you guys very much for coming in. You were phenomenal. Happy New Year. It was a pleasure having you, and I hope to see you again real soon. Let's do this, then we'll come back and say goodbye. Blackhawks hockey on the way on 720 WGN. All right, my thanks again to Justin Ruff and everybody who came in. Fantastic music, so go to justinruffmusic.com. Blackhawks hockey coming up in about 2 minutes, but fans of the Blackhawks come with WGN Radio and spend a hockey-filled three-day weekend away in Minneapolis, February 20th through the 22nd. You're going to travel by chartered coach north to the Twin Cities to see the outdoor alumni game at TCF Bank Stadium on the University of Minnesota campus. There may be a golden gopher or two roaming around. Then Sunday, it is the Chicago Blackhawks facing the Central Division rival Minnesota Wild at the 2016 Coors Light NHL Stadium Series outdoor game. Your tour includes accommodations at the Hampton Inn, Minneapolis downtown, and two breakfasts, game tickets. Call Sunrise Tours at 800-881-8804 to book your tour, or find pricing and booking information at WGNRadio.com/events. That's WGNRadio.com/events, or 800-881-8804 to book your tour or find pricing and booking information. All right. Well, listen, it has been a fun New Year's Eve. I hope that you have a very wonderful and safe rest of the evening. Happy New Year to everybody. If you're going out, I shouldn't have to tell you, but as a father, I tell everybody, be careful when you go out tonight. You too, guys, when you're going down to the gig. Be careful. Drive safely. There's a lot of lunatics out there. And if you're coming down to Chi-Town Rosing, I'm going to want to talk to you tomorrow to find out if you enjoyed it, find out what you thought about it, and see maybe what they can improve for next year, or what's going to be absolutely perfect for next year. So, again, I'll be back tomorrow for Roe from 3 to 7. Roe will be back with you on Monday afternoon, because, you know, the holidays are over and everybody has to get back to work. So that's what's happening. Tomorrow we have, in the 6 o'clock hour, if you're wondering what 2016 will hold for you, we have a psychic coming in to give you a reading. So we'll do that. Have a wonderful night. Happy New Year. Be safe. Be careful. Stay warm. Blackhawks hockey now on 720 WGN.